The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and it's okay. You really don't need to know what my words are. You need to know what God has to say in a situation like today. I've been asked over and over this week, what are we supposed to do? I've been asked that question by some who were in attendance. I've been asked that question by some who had family members and friends who were among the injured, and some who had family and friends among those who lost their lives. What are we supposed to do? I've been asked that question by my staff, your staff, in church, Wednesday night at communion. What are we supposed to do? When this kind of tragedy faces a city, a nation, a people, what are we supposed to do? This is where the Word of God speaks. It's where Gabe's song just comes to be perfect. Word of God speak. He does speak. Thousands of years ago, a man by the name of David, King David, of David and Goliath fame, asked the same question. And you have to know what was happening in David's life. The Philistines are terrorizing Israel. But it's more personal than that for King David, because he's not king yet when he writes that psalm. He is a young man who is on the run for his life. It's not automatic weapons that are being fired at him. It's Saul's army, his soldiers. They are hunting David down like an animal, and they're wanting to kill him. And in Psalm 11, verse 3, David says, when the foundations are being destroyed. What foundations? Well, David was to be king of Israel. God had a plan for his life. It's being destroyed. God, they're trying to kill me. When the foundation is being destroyed, what can the righteous, now that doesn't mean perfect. That means what can a good man do when the whole world is coming unglued, when everything is up in the air, when it's crisis and chaos, what can good people do? If you were to ask God that question, I think he would give you a two-word answer. Worship me. In fact, he says that in Psalm 105, verse 4. Go to the Lord for help and worship him. You need help. Worship him. Psalm 34 says, worship opens doors to all of God's goodness. So the Bible says when you have crisis and chaos, when everything is causing you to feel crushed and out of control, when your heart is breaking, what do? Worship God. We started this series on times of refreshing. There is no greater time of refreshing than worshiping God. We didn't anticipate this tragedy. In fact, last week, Sunday afternoon, we were talking about what to expect that night, and the night came, and we began to experience some marvelous worship. We had a great worship time last week. And then we found out that there were 270 people in Awana's and another 160 people over in Amplify with the junior high and high school students. And as Neil said, we had more than twice as many as we usually had on Saturday. Now, if you are a Saturday person, God bless you. Thank you for everything and the sacrifice. But it worked. And we're going to do it again tonight. In fact, somebody asked me, is the sermon the same on Sunday night as it is on Sunday morning? Well, it used to be. Last week it was, but it won't be anymore in the days to come. Because what we discovered is a lot of people were bringing their children, their students, and they would like to have stayed around, but they didn't like me well enough to hear me say the same thing twice. And I don't blame them. Listen, I listened to me say this four times and I don't like it, so twice would be a blessing. But anyway, starting tonight, we're going to stay with the theme, times of refreshing, but I'm going to attack it differently tonight. Today, I'm going to say, what do we do in times of chaos? Tonight, if you want to come back, I'm going to talk about what does God do? What does He promise us? So let's come back. Here we are riding this high. We go home and we hit a low point. And I mean, it was devastating. As far as I know, we did not have any fatalities in families of our church. We had some injuries. We had a lot of stories of injuries and even death in associated people with our church, friends of families in our church. But, you know, God was good. We know we had a lot of people there. A bunch of our college students were there. Our adults were there. We got that news, and it just took away all of the joy of last Sunday night. And then Monday morning, I got up and I heard even worse news, that those three little boys that were hit by the automobile on the sidewalk, and they were hit in the midst of this, and nobody hardly knew about that catastrophe. Because life keeps throwing those things at us. They don't quit. They continue to come. They came with 9/11. They've been coming since, and they're going to keep coming. So what do I do in the midst of these dark hours? Because you're going to go through some more tragedies. I'm going to go through some tragedies. We're going to go through things wrong in our life. How do I worship God? When the foundation is being destroyed, what can a good person do? God says, worship me. God, how? How do I worship you? Well, I go to the scripture, and again, as Gabe's song said, I listen to what God says. And fortunately, in the Word of God, there is a man of God who suffered catastrophe like I cannot even fathom. In the moment, in a day, he lost his business, his career, his family, his possessions, his health, everything taken away from Job in a single day. And do you know what Job did? He fell down on his face and he worshiped God. How do you do that, Job? In the midst of all of the tragedy, how do you keep your eyes on God when they're full of tears? Well, Job shows us, and it's scattered throughout the entire book. So, four things, how to worship God in the midst of chaos. Number one, when you face a tragedy, the first thing you do, tell God how you feel. Unload your feelings. Let it all come out. Let God hear it. The Bible in Lamentations says, cry out in the night, pour out your heart like water in prayer to the Lord. Every one of us know what it is to pour water out of a pitcher into a glass. You have an empty glass, you have a water pitcher, and you just pour it and you fill the glass. And God in His Word says, that's how simple it is. You come to me, pour out your heart, don't hold back anything, let it all come forward. They tell us there are four top emotions that we're feeling right now. Number one is anger. If you're not angry, you're apathetic. If you're apathetic, it means you don't care. Sometimes the only loving response is anger. God gets angry when innocent people get hurt. So love demands that you get angry. Because if you're not angry, you don't care. The second, grief. We've seen the pictures. We've seen the blood. We've seen everything, it seems like. And it hurts our hearts. They're breaking. And shock. How did this happen? Disbelief. How could this happen in our city? How could it happen in America? And then anxiety or fear. Because we live with this conscious awareness that this is not the last time we're going to have to face trouble. None of us have that promise. So what do I do with those feelings? I unload them. I give them to God because He can handle it. He can handle my doubt. He can handle my anger, my grief, my fear, my questions. Job, in Job chapter 7, says, I can't be quiet. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I have to speak. He is brutally honest with God, tells God exactly how he feels. You read the book of Job, you'll see that it divides into three areas. The first area is when Job expresses his confusion. God, why did you allow this? God, why did you allow them to get by with this? We feel that way. The second part, he expresses his complaint. God, I don't like that you allowed this. I don't like that you let them get by with this. And in the third section, he holds some accusations against God. He basically says, God, why would you allow this? God, I don't like that. Are you sure you're God? Are you sure you're big enough to be in control? Are you sure you love us? Are you sure? Are you so great? And guess what? God doesn't fry him on the spot. God doesn't kill him right there because he's angry and grieving and questioning. Job learned you can go to God and you can express your feelings as clearly as you know how. The answer is not grin and bear it. The answer is not bury your emotions. The answer is not pious platitudes. Well, we'll get through this. The answer is, God, I'm coming to you. Why did you allow this? I don't like it. I don't even know how I feel about where you are right now. I have two boys. They're almost grown. They're in their 30s. Okay? I'm going to pay for that one. Neither one of my boys doubt that I have lived longer than them. They know I have. I don't think either of my boys doubt that I have had more experience in life than they have. I don't think they doubt my education. They know that I've gone to school a long time in my life. I don't think they doubt my experiences. But let me tell you what they do doubt. They doubt my judgment. Sometimes they look at me like, you're kidding. You really think that? Now here's the reality. I would rather they said that to me than to try to hide it. I would rather they came right out and us have a conversation that is open and honest than them just stuff it in and ignore me. Where do I get a feeling like that? From my Heavenly Father, who feels the same way about me. He doesn't want me to hide my feelings. He doesn't want me to bury my feelings. He believes honesty is the best policy. In fact, at the end of the book, in Job 42, God actually commends Job and says, Job, you have spoken honestly. The great names in the Bible, Jeremiah did this, Naomi did this, David did this. King David one time said to God, God, I've taken the worst that you can hand out, and I'm fed up. Can you imagine saying that to Almighty God? God, I've taken the worst you can dish out, and I'm tired of it. Why? We think, wow. What does God call David? A man after his own heart. He's not mad at him about it. Why? Because even though David was fed up, he never quit trusting God. He continued to walk with God. In fact, I gave you this scripture here. It says in Psalm 116, I believed, so I said, I'm completely ruined. Now, it sounds at first like he's saying, I trusted God and my life is ruined. That's not what he is saying. What he's, in fact, think about this for a moment. That psalm is a prayer. So by reading that psalm, it is a statement of faith. His complaining to God is an act of worship. He basically says, first, I'm praying, so I believe there is a God. Second, I believe he listens to my prayers. And third, I believe he'll let me say what I want to say, and he's still going to love me. It was an act of worship. So if you want to know how to worship God, feel free to pour out your feelings and what you don't understand and what you don't like, because he's big enough to take it. The Good News translation of that verse, we put it in there. I kept on believing even when I said I'm completely crushed. The second thing Job teaches us, you praise God in spite of the circumstances. Think about Job for a moment. His family, his career, his finances. His wife said, Job, life is so worthless for you right now. Why don't you curse God and die? You have nothing to live for. How do you praise God under those circumstances. And yet that's exactly what Job did. He says in Job 1, I was born with nothing, I will die with nothing. The Lord gave, now the Lord has taken away. May his name be praised in spite of everything that has happened. Job did not sin by blaming God. Did you see what it said there? May his name be praised in spite of everything that had happened. May his name be praised. I don't know how Job did this, but I know that the theme of the Bible in the book of Job is very, very understandable. Can a man lose everything and continue to praise God? Can you lose everything? Make it personal. Could you lose everything and continue to trust God? Because that is the lesson in the life of Job. Will you continue to follow and love God if everything in your life goes wrong? Would you? Because it's the ultimate test of faith. And in your life and my life, when we go through the tragedy and the trial, and it looks like all is going wrong, God is with us and he is watching to see if we trust him. When the rug is pulled out from under you, when it doesn't make sense, will you still trust him? When it is chaotic, when it is confusing, when there is tragedy, will you praise him even if your heart is breaking? In fact, we gave them on your notes here. Job gives 6 different things we can praise God for, even in the midst of tragedy. 1, because he is a good and loving God. The Bible says in Job 10, you've given me life and constant love. Your care has kept me alive. It's reminiscent of what Paul says in the New Testament when he says, I am convinced that nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. Not life or death or angels or demons, not our fears for the day or worries about tomorrow, not even powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. I can praise him because he is a loving God. I can praise him because he notices every detail of my life. Job says he knows the details of what is happening to me. He sees everything I do. He watches my every step. I can thank him that he is all-powerful. And he cares about me. He knows. Look at that passage. He knows the details. Imagine this for a moment. God knows the details of my life. He knows every hurt in my heart. He knows the number of every hair on my head, and it changes almost hourly. Because I could just go like this, and some would come out, and God's got to recount. But he cares. And I think about those people and I think about the chaos and the confusion and the running and the screaming. And I'll tell you what, he knows the detail of every one of their lives and he cares. I can praise him for that. It says he has a plan for our lives. Notice Job 23, he will fulfill what he has planned for me. That means he's in control. It means he's in charge. Every single life that was on that asphalt, every single injury, every single loss of life, God was intimately aware of the details and he cared. He promises to protect us. You know, we feel like, well, we're not sure that happened. I don't doubt the reality of evil, and I don't think you do either. I think after seeing what we have seen the past 50 years, some of us, 60 years, some of us, we know there's an evil. You can't look at Adolf Hitler and wonder if there's an evil. You can't look at some of the terrors of the past and doubt there's evil. There's evil. What we have to remember is that good will triumph because it's God's world. That's why Jesus said that when we pray, we are to pray, deliver us from evil. We are to ask God to do that. Because why? Goodness is stronger than evil, and God will deliver us. The third thing, you ask God for strength and help. This is what Job did. The Bible says in Job 12, God is the real source of wisdom and strength. He knew that. So instead of running from God in a terrible circumstance, which is what many of us do, we have a tragedy, we have a crisis, we have chaos, and we get mad and we run at God because we ask those questions. We tell God how we feel, but we don't continue to trust Him as Job did. And so we say, God, I don't like this. God, I'm not sure that I want this. And God, I don't know if you love me enough to help me through this. And Job asked all the same questions, but he continued to trust God. He continued to walk with God. In fact, Psalm 3 says, I can lie down and go to sleep, and I can wake up again. Why? Because the Lord gives me strength. There's a lot of people that endured this crisis that have not slept well since. God makes a promise, if you trust me, I'll see you through it. If you'll trust me, I'll give you my strength to get a good night's rest. Some of you were not in this crisis, and it's been 2 or 3 months since you've slept well. What is it that you need to trust God for? Because he says, if you will trust me, you can go to sleep and wake up again. I'll give you the strength. Look at Psalm 37. The Lord saves good people, and he is their strength in times of trouble. Psalm 63, here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in what? Your strength and glory. God's waiting to strengthen us. We have to come to him. We pray, we praise him, we think about him. It all comes from worship. And worship is just getting closer to God. Fourth thing, you focus on God. Focus on God. This is what Job does. He focuses on God. Through the entire book, he is focused on God. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles. And by the way, when Paul said our light and momentary troubles, they were trying to kill him. They had put him in prison. They had run him out of town. They had beaten him, and they had thrown stones at him and trying to kill him. That's what he calls light and momentary trouble. So he says, we do not lose hope or heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we will fix our eyes not on what is seen. What is seen? The tragedy. We've seen it, haven't we? We've seen it over and over and over again, and we've heard those shots over and over and over again. And we focused on that. And it keeps us grieving, and it keeps us afraid, and it keeps us confused, and it keeps us angry. So here's what God says to do. We focus our eyes not on what is seen, the tragedy, but on what is unseen. What is that? God. It's God's power. It's God's presence. That's what we focus it on. In fact, I can see three reasons not to be discouraged right there. Because number one, all of our troubles are temporary. They're not going to be eternal. I'm not going to have my troubles in heaven with me. I may have them until I die on this earth. But that means they're still temporary because I'm going to live in eternity a lot longer than I'm living here on this earth. He says, I cannot be discouraged because God is using these troubles to do something in my life and because I'm keeping my eyes on him. Look what Job says in 16. By trusting me, you will be unshakable. This is what God says to Job. By trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured. Deeply at peace in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. Count on it, but take heart, I've conquered the world. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've conquered the world. And then I look at Hebrews. It says, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. Our kingdom shook Sunday night. And it's going to continue to shake because we're going to have trouble. But I have an unshakable kingdom. And that unshakable kingdom is God's kingdom. It goes on for eternity. So it says, do you see how thankful we must be, not only thanking God, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God? Job knew something that I hope I can rest in better. I rest in it, but I'm not as good as I need to be. Job knew that he could lose everything, his children, his fame, his finances, his property. He could lose everything, but there's one thing that could never be taken from him, his trust in God. I can lose everything. My wife, my children, my job, my security. You can take everything that I have from me, except one thing, my relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't get that. And that's the one thing that I trust in to see me through, to give me strength, to give me hope, and give me help. Look what he says again. Look at it again. Do you see what we've got? It's an unshakable kingdom. Do you see? What he says is we have to focus on this. We have to look at this. Am I going to focus on the shakable kingdom or the unshakable? Am I going to focus on the problem or am I going to focus upon God? It matters what you choose to look at. I choose to look at God because he is a good God and he is great and he is loving. And he notices when one sparrow falls to the ground, so I am positive he knows what goes on in my heart and in my life. So you come back to David's question, what can good people do when the foundations are being destroyed? Come to God. Worship God. Get closer to God. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, we want to be closer to you because we don't want to be afraid and angry and grieving and hopeless and helpless. We want to be confident that there is an unshakable kingdom that is not resting upon what can be taken from us. It is rested upon whom we trust, and we trust you. I pray, even this morning, for these who are hurting and still anxious. Bring comfort and peace. Bring hope, power, strength into our lives. Let us be a testimony of those around us of your great love and your grace in Jesus' name. And I want you to keep your head bowed for a moment because I want to be able to help. And I have some friends that are right here. Some of you, you know, you still have those emotions, and maybe it would help if we could pray for you. I mean, I know it will help if you would let us. So if you'd like somebody to pray for you, just come and talk with one of us. You don't have to tell a story. You don't have to describe what's going on. You just say, well, I'd like somebody to pray for me. I love people praying for me. People tell me quite often, I'm praying for you. Man, I count on it. I need it. So if we could pray for you, maybe you have a friend who's hurting. You don't know how to help them. We'll pray and ask God to give you strength. Whatever it is, if we could pray for you. Or maybe you'd say, you know, you talked about that faith in the unshakable kingdom. I don't know that I have that kind of faith in God. You want to talk about it some more? You want to talk about how to have that faith in God? Then come and talk with one of us. We're not going to twist your arm. This is not a time when we try to pressure people into the things of God, but we be sensitive to where you are. Maybe you want to just use the steps as a place to pray and pray for some that you know are affected. Then come. Jacob's going to sing, and then he's going to lead us to sing. And when he leads us to sing, folks, it ought to be from the bottom of our heart and the top of our lungs, because we're going to declare our faith in our God. If we can help as he sings, you come right now.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
All right, church, here we go. Let's sing it out.
Christ alone.
Close, and I don't want us to go out of here on a glimpse. gloomy note. I want you to go out of here with the glorious victory that our God is in charge, that we can go to Him for help, worship Him, and He gives us strength. Father, we're grateful for Your goodness, and we go from here with the confidence of an unshakable kingdom that cannot be taken from us. Even if we lost our life, it would not be taken from us. We'd be taken home to You. And we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.